Guess who's back?
All right.
Back again.
Again.
Jordan's back.
Back to yeah, some men.
AFI. Backstage Stories.
Mr. Batshida.
Mr. Prince.
So how was your week, man? What'd you do?
My week. Let's get it all together. I'm a little bit confused because I had a pretty crazy day yesterday. I got informed in the morning that I have to do the commentary for a soccer game at night. And usually we do those kind of things. The whole game for radio in a team of two. I already told you. But I had to do it alone because of Big Rona, and they only let a few media guys into the stadium, and it was tough. And
sure.
So I'm a bit confused. But when was the last recording? Was it Wednesday, Tuesday? I don't know. What happened?
Our last recording.
I can't bring that much interesting stuff together that happened in my past week. What about you? You're the guy whose week we should talk about. You just released a single last Friday.
Yeah, man. It's been a very, it's been a pretty crazy week. So actually I was a few different things this week. There was, so Friday, May 29th, we released The Crooked Rail into the world. And actually, I wanted to thank you for making the last episode so personal for me, because I listened to it, after we released it, and I think you asked some really engaging, interesting questions in terms of my personal music stuff, I don't always get questions like that. I think it's cool when someone who knows you asks you interesting questions. So I wanted to thank you for like such a cool, personal promotional episode, the way it worked out. But yeah, so the 29th, we dropped, the song. And that dropped at midnight on the 29th, and then at 1 o'clock, the 13 or around 1 p.m. The same day, we dropped the video. And man, I'm really proud of the video. I think that was something that was really difficult to do in quarantine. We actually worked pretty. This is, you know, the video actually is kind of cool in terms of, you know, the kind of show that we do here, because it was completely international. For those who haven't seen it, basically, you know, me and one other person from Munich shot some things here in my apartment, and then we had the other main producer, cameraman, editor based out of Lisbon, and we, as part of the...
Fans of the show know him.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, he was a guest on the show. You should really go back to one of our earlier episodes and listen. His name is Sebastian Bolenios. Very talented filmmaker, very talented producer and editor, and he has great ideas, and he's such a good friend and such a really, really like a, one of those genuine talents in his field. And so Basti was the main. I have to give him a lot of credit, actually. Even more than usual, because on this video he really came out of the woodwork and provided so many original ideas, and was really, you know, we had a really tight schedule, I would say, because as soon as everything was arranged with the label, you know, like we discussed in the last episode, they made this timeline, and all of a sudden we had, I think it was a month or so to make this video for the song. And it's a lot of work to make an interesting video when you can't go anywhere and you don't have any money.
Yeah.
And Basti,
and you have this global pandemic
on top of that, man. You have like a fucking huge world crisis on your hands, and it really came together in a nice way. Basically, part of the idea was that we asked people through social media, either fans of the music or just friends and family, to send in videos where they would film another device in their home. So, you know, they could film their TV, or they could film their laptop, or they could film, you know, their friend's phone or something. And on that device would be a green screen. And a lot of people submitted pretty interesting, yourself included, filmed pretty interesting frames. We were always encouraging people to be in the frame doing something. It could be mundane. We had people who were just making their morning coffee. You were playing guitar in the corner, which is really cool. We had some people who, you know, created little unique devices from toys and stuff. And it was really cool. And, you know, your eyes are always searching for the frame. And basically, we filmed some things here in the apartment. We filmed like, you know, if you were viewing like an Instagram live concert or like a YouTube concert, we filmed this performance and we put it on everybody's green screens. And then we chopped all of that together with this other kind of persona. You know, like the story of the song we talked about last time is kind of hiding your feelings from others. So we filmed this darker persona, kind of. We call it Serious Jordan. Serious Jordan was filmed here in different clothing, you know, in the apartment building and in my personal apartment.
It was in your staircase, wasn't it?
It was in this building, yeah. And we filmed a lot of stuff actually with this Serious Jordan guy, but some of it was it was funny. Some of it turned out to be too twisted and too like almost too emotional, too dark for the story of the song. We found out later, like, that was the hard thing too, is because we had this, you know, Basti is this great creator and this great idea maker, and you know, all these other great videos that we did together, we did it in person and we met together and we brainstormed together and we shot it in person and we could improvise in the moment or we could plan ahead of time and stuff. And this was the first time where we did a video where he basically made the shot list and he gave us a lot of freedom. And I shot with this other guy, Tim Henkel, for the first time. And he was also, I have to give Tim a lot of credit. I never shot with him before. He's a friend. He's the boyfriend of a good friend of mine from New Orleans who happens...
Is he like the mini-me of Tim?
Hecking.
The Munich version.
You know, it's funny because I think... I've still not...
He's the camera version of Tim Hecking.
You know, I still have not met a Tim or a James that I didn't like. It's funny. but yeah.
And I hope neither you did with... neither met a Moritz you didn't like.
You know what's funny? Is I still have not met a Moritz that I didn't like. I think I just know two. I know... you, and I know someone who's listening to this episode, Moritz Binder, and I think that's the two that I know for sure. And
no, you wanted to talk about how you got in contact with Tim Henkel, the guy who shot the shots.
Yeah. So Tim, I met him, I guess, 2 years ago or a little less even, because my friend Lindsay from New Orleans also works at the school job with me. And that's her boyfriend. And he's I didn't know much about him at first. And took us a while, like a few different parties, to really talk. He was always very friendly and I enjoyed his company, but I didn't know, you know, I thought maybe he's too busy, or I didn't know exactly what kind of filming he did, if it was image films or, you know, you never know. Like in Germany, the occupation of what you do can be pretty... I think it's common in Germany that the occupation that you do is very linear, you know, like, okay, I'm a cameraman, but I do image films, or like, I'm a cameraman, but I do TV, or I do music videos. And he's one of those rare kinds that I really enjoy, a bit like Basti, that they can kind of put their, you know, as the British say, they can put their fingers in many pies. You know, he can...
What? Wood.
Have you heard this expression before?
It sounds more like the American pie plot than a British saying.
I'm trying to think of the American alternative. I think it's like I think the American expression, or one of them, is like he wears different shoes.
No, I meant the movie American Pie.
Yeah, for sure. It sounds like this guy who stuck his dick in a pie. But the expression exactly. Is definitely from British culture, because I had never heard that before, and then someone at work told me once, like, oh, he has his fingers in many pies. Yeah, so he's one of these great people, and we met, and then we talked about, I needed someone to shoot some things here. Basti, of course, is in Lisbon, and then we just put Tim into this group chat, and then, he shot the Serious Jordan stuff here, he shot the performance thing here. Basti filmed so many beautiful building shots and landscape shots in Lisbon, some things that I really was so blown away by. This guy is such a genius. And Tim was also really creative and free and open. Just two really great people to work with. And that was it. Just the three of us really were the main engine behind it. And then thank God, we had a lot of submissions. I think we had 40 or 50 people submit their green screen drops, which was so cool, from all over. We had people from the UK, from here in Germany, from America, of course, New Orleans, LA, Mississippi. We had people in Hamburg, Cologne, Lisbon. It was very international. So it was really cool to see all these different people submitting, people that I didn't even know. And at the end of the day, we had this really cool video that I'm really proud of. And I think it's a really beautiful video, and I think it really matches the song. And it's really cool what you can do when you have talented people with no budget, and you have a song that you like, and you have a good idea. It's, yeah, man. So we dropped all of that last Friday, and since then we've just been tracking the numbers. As anybody who's a independent musician will know, you're just a lot of, a release day is less of, when you're a kid, you imagine like walking on some sort of red carpet, but really it's just sitting on your computer and tracking the numbers on the Spotify and YouTube, and, seeing where your, either yourself or your label submits things to, radio stations or.
And now the big M94.5 reveal. What do you think about those, about the numbers?
Right now, I have to say, Spotify and YouTube, I have not put any of my own money into advertising. Like usually on YouTube, you do like some like a Google ad to try and build revenue or try and build view counts. I did some ads on Facebook. But you can never be too sure exactly about the reality of those numbers. But I have to say, for Spotify and YouTube to just be pure, view counts, I'm really happy. Of course, I'm always trying to imagine how these numbers can be doubled or tripled, and like what I could be doing, and if something's wrong, is it my fault? Should I do more? And I was corresponding a lot with the label the last couple of days. And basically, I just have to be more patient, man. I'm just not used to having a label take care of things. I'm just not used to it. And I'm...
But what are they doing at the moment? Are they doing the whole advertising stuff?
Yeah, basically they're supposed to be handling the majority of the PR. But of course they're encouraging me, if I want to build, if I want to spend my own money on an advertisement, then of course they encourage that. If I want to do it, that's my choice, and they say, "Hey, that's great, go for it." So my intention of course is to, invest whatever little money I can into some advertisements through Google, Google AdWords. You can promote your video on YouTube organically, or, try and promote your video on Facebook, or promote some posts on Instagram, whatever. Like I will definitely do that, because I can afford to do that a little bit, and I think it helps. Or at least I think it helps. But what they do right now is I wrote them about, what I wanted to see from them was a spreadsheet of everything that they've submitted the song to in terms of radio or blogs or online magazines or something, and see, I wanted to see what they've done, what they've submitted it to. I didn't ask in this suspicious way, but I just want to see what they're doing and like keep tabs on it. And also I want to make sure that I don't overlap. I don't want to like blast or spam anybody because, of course, I have my own connections to M94.5 or Ego FM or Pulse or Bayerischer Rundfunk or Süddeutsche Zeitung. And I don't want to step on someone's toes and like end up spamming someone's email if they've sent it out already. I don't want to send it out to the same person twice. That would be unprofessional. So, so that's our plan for next week. Like, we're going to Zoom tomorrow, and I had some questions about the next single because I think they want a song that I'm not so sure is the right next single, but if they make a good argument, then of course that's cool. And actually this this YouTube streaming...
I guess we have to talk off mic what songs this is about, because I'm really interested in
that. Yeah, we can talk off mic about it for sure. And it's not even like this crazy secret or something, but like they've... I think you know what the next single is supposed to be? Or have we not talked about that?
I think I forgot.
Okay. So anyway, there's some single that they've decided for the one in the fall, and I made like a soft argument the last couple of days about changing it, and they're pretty cool. They say, you know, we wouldn't fight this. It doesn't really matter if you want to change it, but it's pretty clear that they feel that their first choice is the right one, and that's cool. You know, if they feel like they can do, if they feel more passionate about the other song, maybe it's the right idea. And you know what I mean? Like, if they love it more, then maybe they'll do harder work on it. Who knows? And what did I want to say? I don't want to overlap with them in terms of what we send out. And oh yeah, oh, right. There was this this YouTube compilation. It's a YouTube channel that does like compilation videos of songs that they like. It's pretty common, this sort of thing. You know, they make like a pretty picture of some indie girl with a straw hat in a garden or something, and then it's like chill wave or like summer love or you know
like those kind of compilations, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. But this particular one has a huge following, and they got in touch about the Crooked Rail for they got in touch for
Jordan,
an unreleased song. Do you hear me?
Yeah, I think I lost you for a second. Not sure if it's my or your internet, we'll see. But so they got in touch to get a song for their compilation that is not released yet. Is that what you said?
Right. So yeah, so basically before the label and I confirmed everything, I was, of course, sending out songs I thought were the best ones to a bunch of different tastemakers to see what the right singles should be.
Yeah.
And this one, yeah, YouTube channel got back and they said, hey, we really love this particular song. And, you know, as of right now, it's just scheduled to be on the main album. It's not meant to be one of the singles. And they said, we really love it and we want to put it on one of our compilations in July, but the album isn't scheduled until January.
That's an issue.
I was talking to the label. Yeah. By the way, I hope it doesn't sound like I'm talking over you, because I think there is a little bit of a delay.
I'm not quite sure, but we'll, I think those who listen, won't be mad about us, and I think we can fix it anyway.
Okay, cool. Just because sometimes I hear your response to something like 4 seconds late, and sometimes I already started the next sentence, so I don't want you to think that I'm... I don't know if you hear it like that. I don't want to like cut you off.
I think we're cool, and we'll get that fixed in post-production.
all right. We're keeping it real here. Artsy Fartsy Immigrants doesn't bullshit around. This is how podcasts are done.
We're just raw.
We're raw. This is how podcasts are done. So they wanted this song, and it's not released, and it's not scheduled until January. And they asked if they could release it on this compilation in July. So that's also the conversation I have to have with them. Is like, okay, I want to change the next single, but I'm also not going to fight you if you have a good argument. And then also, what is the likely situation? You know, should I ask this compilation people if they can wait until January, or is there like some alternative to, you know, should we actually make it available? But I think, honestly, I think the way that they've planned it is probably the way that it's going to be. I think they're going to keep the, I think they're going to have a decent explanation for why the single they chose is the single they chose. And I think they're going to say, hey, you know, this channel's cool, but they got to wait. That's just how it is. And that's, for me, it's totally fine. I think I get so hyped up on opportunities. I think that they won't, you know, I think the opportunities won't stick around, and usually they will sometimes, you know.
But tell me one thing, what is the vibe of the compilation that got in touch with you? Because maybe I can guess what song they wanted to bring up.
You can guess for sure. I mean, I've played it on all these live streams and stuff, but they do a lot of different stuff. I mean, they, you know, for these other compilations they do, they could have easily chosen the Crooked Rail, or they could have easily chosen different styles. But for particularly the one that they want is Smilin'.
But that's cool.
You would have what? Sorry, it cut out.
No. Well, what is this internet thing about? Why is it so bad today?
Okay, let's just address it. Like, there was an issue with the internet connection, so there is a bit of a delay between me and Mo. So we stopped for a second. We tried a different platform, and then we came back to Skype. And basically, we've just decided that we can make this work the best that we can. But there's a bit of a delay, and thankfully, Mo is a great editor, and we can just make this sound really smooth. So maybe to you guys, there's no issue at all. I don't know.
Maybe this sounds super weird to everybody who's listening.
Maybe. For them, they're like, no, it sounds like a flawless phone call. I don't understand the problem. But there's like, when I say something, there's about 4 seconds until Mo hears it. And then when Mo says something, there's about 4 seconds until I hear it. So, but I think the last thing that we discussed was this compilation channel and the fact that they have a lot of different variations on what they take, but the song that they want is Smilin', which is a song that it's not planned as a single, but it's planned for the album release. And this was an issue that I had to discuss with the label, if they, you know, if there's like some loophole or some way that they allow this song to be part of this compilation before the official release. But I think, like I said earlier, I think that, you know, the single that they want will be the single that they choose, and this compilation will just have to wait until January, I think. Because, I mean, they have the plan, they have the connections, and probably I'm just too, as often with most things, I'm probably just too impatient.
Okay, I didn't quite understand the last part because of connection problems, but I get the point. And if you're fine with it, then it's cool. But one thing about this delay stuff, to end that part.
Yeah.
Next week... Oh, I don't know if I can make next week, but maybe the week after next week, in 2 weeks, we could just, with my little setup here, we could just meet somewhere with a little bit of distance and record together instead of having to rely on those shitty internet communication forms, services.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. I mean, you've been back.
But how do you feel about the single decision?
Which single decision do you mean?
So you came up to them to bring in the idea to just select another song, but you would still be happy if it turns out the way they have already planned.
Yeah, of course, for sure. I mean, it's totally it's totally a viable single. I think it's also and I can explain that. I should have just said that to you when we were off mic already, but basically I think it also works completely fine, but I just had this calling, kind of this like understanding that maybe this other one was just the right one to maybe show some range from the Crooked Rail to something else, because the second single they want is also pretty catchy and pretty upbeat. And I think that if we did this other one, it would like connect the story of the album a bit more, and maybe it would show a bit of range on what the, because the album has a lot of diversity. I mean, some songs are very stripped down and very emotional, and some songs are more like energetic and rocky. And I thought maybe it makes more sense to have a bit more, like a little diversity in the first two singles. But you know, if they say, hey, look, we have a lot of experience doing this, and we think that this song is going to do the best, then I would not be upset with them. For sure not. I would just, you know, I'm happy that I can say my piece, but if they, you know, it's not me against, but me talking to three people at the same time from the label. And if all three of these people say that the other one is better, then, you know, majority rules, that's okay. No worries.
Yeah. Yeah. I see.
But, yeah, in general, in terms of the last podcast, how I feel about it, it's definitely positive. I'm definitely happy with how it's turning out. And the label did a really cool thing. They got the song on these two big playlists, New Music Friday Deutschland and New Music Friday Switzerland. And that's the kind of Spotify editorial playlist stuff that you really have a hard time getting into if you don't either already have a name for yourself or you don't have someone representing you.
Yeah, I saw that, and it's a pretty cool thing for you, isn't it?
Those are great, man. I mean, the New Music Friday Deutschland playlist has like 600,000 listeners, usually. So that's really helped a lot with the stream count. The only thing I'm a little bit worried about is that I guess that changes every Friday. So, you know, tomorrow, the day after this podcast comes out, it might already be off that playlist again. So then, of course, I'm going to get a bit anxious. Like, okay, does that mean the stream count's going to drop a lot? Does that mean that the listening is going to drop down a lot? But so far, what I've noticed on this really handy application, Spotify for Artists, is you know, the label got the song onto these two quite big playlists. And then from there, the song is on, I think, at least five other, like Tastemaker or personal playlists that people have. Well, at least five other playlists that have like at least 1,000 or more listeners. So I think it's like people who are Tastemakers.
They have a reputation.
Yes, like a little bit more than just like, you know, Gary from Stuttgart, who
Gary from Stuttgart. This is the most artsy-fartsy immigrant joke ever. The artsiest, fartsiest immigrant joke.
There's no Gary in Stuttgart.
Gary from Stuttgart. That will definitely be the title of this episode, my friend.
This one's for Gary in Stuttgart.
Imagine there is a Gary living in Stuttgart and calling us after this episode.
So bad.
So if there's any Gary in Stuttgart, and there might be the smallest chance that he gets to listen to it, we might... No, we will definitely feature you on this podcast.
Oh,
so hit
man.
Us up, podcast@m945.de.
That's a sure thing. If you're Gary and you're in Stuttgart and you hear this podcast, please write us. Oh my god. So basically the playlist that the two major playlists encourage some like Tastemaker playlists with like listeners to take on the song, which is really cool. And I think these Tastemaker playlists are going to last longer. I think these big playlists, like the new music thing, I guess it changes every week, so I just have a couple more days. But hopefully the Tastemaker playlists encourage the Garys to put it on their personal playlists. And, you know, once it's on someone's like...
to their friends in Stuttgart.
Yeah, maybe so. You know, once it gets onto like someone's, you know, like I have a best of the year playlist for every year since 2015, and probably a lot of people do. And hopefully it gets on some personal people's playlist and they listen to it a lot. And then it gets onto their, you know, Rewind Spotify playlist or their top favorite from, you know, whatever. That was really cool. Like last year or a couple of years ago when people were, you know, like how at the end of the year, Spotify shows you your most listened to tracks and your most listened to artists on this end of the year thing. That was really cool where a few friends and a few, like, I don't know, like mostly friends and then a couple of fans, had like a few songs from 12 songs on their most listened to, or, you know, Jordan Prince was in their, you know, top 10 artists of the year or something. And that was really cool. That was really, awesome. And then hopefully Crooked Rail gets into that sort of same algorithm for people that maybe have never listen to me before, or listen to my music before. So, yeah, you never know. And then we have to give it more time. I think my biggest thing is that I just, releasing music, because I've only ever done it on my own and I've only ever held myself accountable for if it does good or not. I have no patience. So when this label says, hey man, all good. The numbers look fine. Next week, we're going to make a spreadsheet. We're going to talk about what stations it was submitted to and what blogs it was submitted to. I'm the person who's like, next week, I want it now. I'm writing you now. I want to see it today. I want to submit tonight. I want to do it at 3 a.m. But I have to like be cool. I have to relax. I have to just let them do their job and give myself some space from it and, like, you know, not check the numbers every 10 fucking seconds. So that's my curse probably, is that I feel so responsible for it, you know?
When was the last time you checked the numbers?
Before we started.
Right before we started?
Yeah, when I was calling you, I had the app open.
Okay.
I checked it at dinner too, like an hour ago before we started. The thing is, it's like, it's a really handy app.
You had family dinner and there was a live stream on a big screen with...
No, the thing is that
every 30 seconds there's an update on your...
the app makes it so useful. I mean, everyone who's releasing music should have the Spotify for Artists app on their phone. And, you know, like when you release something... especially for singles, it's great because, you know, you just click on the home button or the music button or whatever, and it has live tracking. And literally you can hold the phone and you can see there's like this, you know, when you look at, you know, like in the 80s movies when they would see like a war hit, like a war movie in the 80s when they would see like a missile, what's it called with a underwater missile? What's an underwater missile called? Oh my God. Anyway, you know, you're like in those movies when you'd be like in a submarine and they would look at the radar.
Yeah, yeah.
They would look at the radar.
Yeah, yeah.
And you would see this missile coming towards them.
Yeah, yeah.
And every like 3 seconds, it would be like, and the circle would start where the missile is and it would like radiate outward.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it does. You look at live track and you see all the numbers, you see like what's happening and it's live. So every like 1.3 seconds it updates and it does like boop and your phone buzzes and you can be like, okay, there's, you know, X amount. There's like, let's say like, oh, there's 100 listens. Oh, 101. Oh, 102. And then there's like a gap. It's like, oh, 104. Oh, 105. And it just goes and goes and goes. And it's really addictive because you're just seeing people click play in the moment. And that's something that people have never had. It's really crazy. And it's very addictive. It's very toxic in a way. But it's cool.
So do you want to talk about these numbers?
I wouldn't release them on the show probably yet or anything. I mean, people can go... Like, basically, the numbers that you see... Let's see. Let's look at the... I'm on my phone now looking at the actual Spotify app. So if you go to Spotify, you go to Jordan Prince... The crooked rail right now on the app for everyone to see.
I don't want to push you towards anything, by the way.
No worries. Like, basically, this isn't secret information. If you go to the Spotify app and you look at it right now on, here we are Wednesday at 9:30 p.m., it says 7,200. But when I go to the Spotify for Artists app, it's already much more than that. So I see the live numbers, and then the app updates, I think, daily or every...
Daily.
Yeah. So I see the future on the app already.
This is
the
future of Spotify users. But because I'm not a Spotify user, I use... we can do the name dropping because we're paying for it from our own money. I use Apple Music. And that's one thing, in my opinion, cool about Apple Music, because you don't see those numbers and you don't filter music. You might explore by numbers, and it doesn't have, it has no impact on your choice on what to listen to. You know what I mean?
Yeah, actually that makes a lot of sense. And I think that's probably a little bit healthier for new listeners and for the musicians who have their music on there.
For smaller artists.
Totally, man. Totally. I mean, I hate it. You know, the worst thing about Spotify is that if you don't have like a significant following, and maybe your song, you know, and this is really common, maybe your song on the release weekend gets like 600 listens, 500 listens, whatever. That's totally normal. And it's great. For an independent artist, that's really great. But then, you know, on Spotify, you know the less than symbol, this like sideways triangle?
Yeah.
So it says like, it only says less than 1,000. And it has it for every single track that doesn't have over 1,000 listens. And for me, that's so, it's like a kick in the nuts for these artists who have worked for months, you know, scrapping together spare change and like writing the song and like doing these mixes and getting it mastered and like begging their parents for money to, you know, print CDs or whatever. And then they finally have everything released and they're just like hoping people like it. And then of course someone's going to go to Spotify for the first time and they're going to see this track and they're going to be like, oh, not even 1,000 plays, huh? Oh boy. You know?
Yeah.
It's so mean almost. And of course, here I am, you know, living my life currently off these numbers, and like breathing it in first thing in the morning, laying in bed. And it's super unhealthy for me too. I mean, I should just be fine with it. Like, hey, this is great. I got in this playlist. I should just wait a few days before I check it, see how it's going. But I'm addicted to it because I'm so scared that it's going to stop any second. And I think seeing those numbers is really, it's really bad, man. It fuels this kind of industry where you're like fighting for, I mean, the fact that you can see those numbers, I don't know if you know this, but I guess you probably do. The fact that you can see those numbers fuels an entire industry of websites where you can buy fake streams. And that's fucking crazy.
I sent you this documentary once where a film team meets this guy who actually does run those algorithms who fake clicks.
It's so crazy, man. It's so crazy to me. And I mean, for those who get lucky enough to have their song put into a great playlist or to have their song put into a TV show or, you know, whatever. And they like, or, you know, like for example, in 2016, I think early 2016, I have a song on Spotify called Parade with Tim Hecking, this Tim Hecking version. And I had really...
This Tim Hecking version of Tim Hecking.
Yeah. It's basically Tim Hecking's song. He's so fucking great. But you know, like this was the first version of that song, and I put it out on this EP in like December 2015 or whatever. And like early 2016, I did not submit this song to anything. You know, I was a bit more naive. I didn't know exactly what to do with it, and I just had it out and I was just promoting it on social media. And then somehow, completely by chance, by luck, this song Parade gets into this Deutschland Kaffeehausmusik playlist. It gets into like a Germany Kaffeehaus music playlist. Like, I think it's really just called Deutschland Kaffeemusik or something, whatever. And it's just a playlist that is probably in like, I don't know, maybe 100 coffee shops. Just like the same playlist over and over. And for maybe 3 months, my song was in that playlist, which was probably playing in a bunch of shops. And that song got over 100,000 streams. And it's still my most played song, although there's a couple of other ones that are climbing up because, thank God, another really nice playlist put it on there. But that's the only way to do it. And, you know, I just think about people who, you know, like, I'm so thankful that Spotify or this coffee maker, curator person put that song on there. And just by chance, man, like by luck and by like, I worked hard on that song. It's very emotional for me. It was a great production of that track and like putting it out. And then by chance, someone hears it, recommends it, gives it a shot, puts it in the playlist, and hey, look, 100,000 streams. And that's great. Like, I was so blown away, and it gave me hope. It gave me hope that the next tracks might have a chance similar to this. And then you think about people who are so obsessed with competing with someone's luck and someone's, you know, hard work like that, that they take a stream or they take a song and they spend, I don't know how much it is, I'm going to guess something like maybe 50 euros or whatever, 50 bucks to put their song at the same level just to have the numbers, you know, and not like, I can't imagine that they feel that same sense of reward that I felt. I felt like kind of rewarded in a way, like, hey man, you know, you did a good song and someone found it and here you go. Here's your streams. Like, there you go. Someone heard it. And like, I don't know, that song, because it was streamed so much, it probably helped getting some radio attention. And then, you know, like there was some nice blog reviews because of that and stuff, and helped get the first tour that we did set up. And, you know, it's that classic story of like, you know, we worked really hard and then we had some luck. And I think it's so crazy that Spotify showing these numbers creates an industry of people who base their entire stream count on fake numbers. And for me, that's so, I get it. I mean, I get it. Of course I get it. I get insecure too, and I get petty, and I start thinking that these numbers mean everything. But I feel kind of bad for the artists that spend this money on this, because it must not be near as rewarding as they want it to be.
Yeah, you know? And I think it puts an extra pressure on smaller artists, besides the financial pressure you have as an artist to finance your recordings and your life, obviously, etc., etc. But imagine being an artist who has a lot of live shows. Let's say a musician like you, like a Jordan Prince kind of musician who plays a lot of shows and plays rather personal songs and gets in touch with his listeners at the concert. And let's say it's a little bit of an older fashioned crowd or audience you find for your music, and they buy CDs at your show. They might order, I don't know, if you maybe have a little merch shop with a t-shirt and a bag or whatever, and they buy this shit. And so you can finance your life as a musician and be a great musician to those people, and they have the CDs and listen to it a lot. But you might have only, I don't know, 1,000 streams per song or 500 streams per song on Spotify.
Yeah.
And the door that you have success on Spotify is closed for you. And you would have to change your whole habit or your whole workflow in your musician's life to be successful in this part, in this path, which might be pretty insecure.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You're totally right. It puts a lot of pressure on these musicians who, you know, want the numbers, but they just don't have the luck yet, or they don't have the, you know, or whatever it is, you know, like there's 100 gazillion musicians right now all trying to do something good, and it's really hard to do it. And it's crazy that that happens. And I think it's really good that Apple Music doesn't show those numbers. I think it's really healthy that they don't do it.
Yeah.
If you want the song, you'll find it. You know, the musician doesn't have to worry. You know, it's like, okay, if there's income, then there's income. And that's what they can base their success off of.
Yeah, yeah. You still get the fact that many, many, many listeners mostly listen to those curated playlists by big labels or by Apple Music itself or Beats or whoever. And you have those... And you have this part of the streaming business. But in my experience, because I don't follow artists and I don't follow these big playlists, I just find new music from time to time. And after maybe I listen through a whole album for several times and I totally like it, I find out, ooh, that's a super small band that might have broken up 3 years ago. But you can't really tell because their Facebook account hasn't been updated since 4 years.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
But it's still a great record, and you listen to it.
Let me take a small pee break here. We can just keep rolling, and then I want to come back and talk about social media for indie musicians. That's a good topic.
Guess who's back?
All right.
Back again.
Jordan's back. Tell some men. Yeah, basically. So you mentioned social media for indie musicians.
No, you mentioned social media.
No, you brought it up somehow. You touched on it in the last part of your sentence. And
yeah, that's true.
I think... that's an interesting topic in terms of like today's market because, yeah, of course you have these Spotify streams, which influence so many people to be competitive and only focus on these numbers and not focus on like the, you know, the followers or like the fan return or you know, whatever. The genuine return of the track that you've put your work into. And it's this like false competitiveness in a way. But social media is an interesting tool as much as it is kind of another vessel for evil kind of, because you can never really rely on the numbers that you see and you can never really be sure of what kind of interactions you are really getting, you know, like,
dude, let me be honest. In my opinion, for anyone who has some form of creative output, may it be music, art, journalistic content, podcast, whatever, social media in terms of being used as a tool for promoting your stuff, your original content, is fucking hell. You just don't. I got to a point last year where I saw any forms of possible social media marketing and things you thought you could rely on, but you did not in the end. And I saw kind of everything I thought at the point. And I came to the point where I realized, okay, I totally do not understand anything of the stuff that happens here. You have stuff being promoted by accounts that have a reach of several hundred K followers. And in the end, maybe 104 of those 700,000 get over to your content. And you're like, what? The content fits the general or the special interest of the account who's promoting it. And normally those users go to the stuff this account are moving on to the websites that are promoted, etc., etc. And then for this one thing, they're not.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's the kind of hardship of it too, is like you, that's kind of an indie musician's only real tool, is to, you know, post about their new releases and post their artwork and post like, here's the upcoming thing, and like hope that their followers are loyal enough to, you know, hopefully buy the track, but most likely stream it. And even when they stream it, even if they love it, they're probably not going to share it. And that's the crazy thing. That's something that's really happened a lot. I've seen in the last 2 years. You know, I would say a general okay like music following, but out of that okay general music following, there's like a very small percentage of that audience that engages with the majority of the posts, that shares anything that I release, like shares the song or the artwork or the information or the announcement or the photos or the videos or whatever. You know, it's a really funny game. It's a really strange, uncertain game that you play with social media, because you sometimes, you know, like you said, sometimes you post something or you get something shared to another channel that has an enormous amount of followers, and you really think, okay, I'm gonna fucking break through. This next thing is gonna get, you know, 100,000 returns. It's gonna get shares. It's gonna really like blow up in a certain way. It might
basically like the story you told us about the playlist.
That's it. Thing. Exactly. Yeah. Sometimes you think
that's what you expect.
Yeah, you expect that. Okay, I got lucky. It's gonna be in here, and it's gonna be successful, and then. And then sometimes it returns nothing. Sometimes it just returns nothing. And it's so crazy. The amount of, like, I don't know if it's a balance of, you know, the output that you're, I don't know if it's like the content or if it's the, you know, I really doubt it's like the hashtag game. You know, I don't know if it's the algorithm sometimes with Instagram or Twitter or Facebook or something, but like, I don't know, my interactions with fans or friends or whatever is completely different let's take, for example, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, right? Instagram, I'd say I have the most like engaged followers. I have like kind of a average amount of likes for whatever, but not so many comments. Sometimes I get like fewer likes, but I get more comments. It's kind of hard to gauge, but the fan base is kind of guessable. Like I can more or less understand where things are going to land. And with Twitter, I have absolutely no engagement at all, which is so wild, man. Like I've been trying to battle this Twitter game for so many years now, and like I don't have a lot of followers and I don't have any engagement there, and I'm not really sure what I can change or what I can do there. Or the thing is, I also don't have like a big passion for Twitter. I'm not engaged on it every day. I'm not like specifically following people and engaging with their tweets and stuff. Like that's also probably part of it, because on Instagram, I'm there every single day and I engage with something. I like someone's post, I comment on something, I share something. And of course, that will naturally return more to your channel. And then with Facebook, you know, I think between 2016 and 2018, the follower growth jumped up a lot because of the management, because of the strategies that we put into place for promoting videos and promoting the page and stuff. But the interactions are also pretty low in general. Like I can promote videos, I can promote posts and stuff. Like I can pay for them to be advertised to those followers. And of course that will increase the growth a bit, but I can't always pay for every post.
That's so super. That's so pervert. You're basically paying for promoting your posts to people that already follow your account. That's so perverted.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. Yeah, that's how they make millions and millions and millions of dollars. Because, you know, I'm just, I don't know, like some of the posts, of course, get, you know, buried in the mix of the 100 billion things posted every hour. And, you know, if people aren't really, really constantly engaged with what you do, then, you know, the return is so low. It's funny, like the followers on Facebook are great, but the return is quite low. On Instagram, the followers are like, decent, but the return is like in the middle, and it kind of wavers. And then Twitter, the followers are low and the response is zero. It's crazy. I never know what's going to come. I never know what's going to happen under these. And it's so misleading because, you know, you look at like whatever happens on Spotify, and you're gauging your success or gauging your response off of these kinds of numbers, but it has nothing to do with what these social media channels might give back to you.
Yeah.
It has no connection at all. Nothing.
Yeah, and you're...
It's wild.
Yeah. And you kind of have to rely on them because those are the platforms where your audience mostly is around.
Yeah, that's where the audience mostly resides. Yeah. Somewhere within one of these three channels.
But it's also weird because those kind of enterprises always tell the public, no, we will not do editorial, editorial changes to posts or we'll never have influence on what people can post, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm not talking about fake news, et cetera, just about maybe how you can promote your art or your work or whatever, your shop, your business, your music, whatever. But that is what they are doing because we are at a point where the algorithms have come such a long way that... Your content has to fit a certain style to be able to compete with all of this freaking humongous amount of other content on these platforms. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's a troubling battle. For the indie musician, you know, you can never really trust the numbers that you see, and then you can't really rely on the followers that you already have. And, you know, you can never be too sure who will really follow something or share something or comment on something. Or yeah, it's a game. It's really just a game that you have to hope that you play the right variables at the right time. And, it's a lot about luck, really. You know, it's crazy. But yeah, man, in general, I would say, like, just to cap this whole thing off, I would say that I'm like genuinely happy with how the growth is in terms of Spotify and YouTube and stuff. And, I hope that it keeps coming, and I hope that people get interested for the next single. And I'm really curious what the label does in the next couple of weeks in terms of promoting it or putting it on airplay or getting reviews and stuff. And, you know, if there's a couple of different reviews that have already come out that I've put on my website. I haven't posted anything about the reviews in the last couple of days. I mean, obviously, social media has been pretty respectfully already addressed towards the crisis happening in America. And I don't want to, like, put too much of anything on there right now that isn't about that because it's really important.
By the way...
But I think...
Mm-hmm. I'm super...
happy that this conversation has yet not come to a point where it's a random, cringy, two white dudes talk about racism talk.
I think you and I were never going to make it like that. You know, I think it was never going to be like that. No. I mean, the issue is important. The information is there for you. If you want to donate something, I think you should. If you want to say something, I think you can. But that's obviously up to you. And, you know, as an American, I have my own feelings about it, but I don't think this maybe is even the right platform for it. I think it's pretty obvious what the right choice is. And just to come back to the music part, I think that...
Yeah, sorry.
You know, that's what I was saying. Yeah, no. But I think it's good that we just mentioned it a little bit. But obviously, I think it's it gets enough press, and it should get more. It's very important. But
it should get more by people who can relate more and say more about this issue that we have not been facing in any terms. That's it.
Exactly. Yeah. So I've just waited the last few days to post any of the new music stuff, because I think the platforms should be free for this kind of thing to be in the forefront in terms of at least my reach. But soon I'll start posting more about the reviews and stuff. And if anyone does want to check that out, it's on Jordan Prince Tunes, TUNES.com. But man, I think that's where we have to wrap it up.
Yeah. Cool for me.
If that's cool for you.
Cool for me.
Nice. Okay.
Funny
well,
thing.
Thank you guys so... Yeah, go ahead.
As soon as you said that, your audio quality and the Skype video quality got better.
Oh, really? That's good.
Skype is pranking us.
Well, you know, even Skype knows what's most important, and that's good. Yeah, so for those who enjoyed today's show, thank you so much for listening. And if you liked it, you know, please go to Spotify or to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to the show, and please give us a good review or rating or comment or share it, or even just tell a friend about the show, because it really helps small programs like us get some new listeners. And there is one thing I would like to mention here at the end of the program, which is a website called blacklivesmatters.carrd.co. That is a website where you can find all of the best ways to help. You can donate, you can sign petitions, you can look at more resources, and you can find things for protesters, and all major credit cards or PayPal work for that very important issue. Otherwise, thank you so much, Mo, for your time, and I hope you guys enjoyed the show.
See ya.
Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, ein Podcast von Jordan Prince und Moritz Batscheider, produziert für M94.5.